Father, we thank you for your word given to us for our instruction. And we pray that you would speak to each of us now by your Spirit through your word. We pray that you would help us to have a right expectations as we look back and as we look forward. And we pray it for your glory. Amen. Well, looking back over the past year since our last annual meeting, there's much to give thanks for, as we've heard, much that has gone as we hoped. But there have also been disappointments. Some days it's felt as though all is well. Jesus is blessing us. He's building his church. Other days, it's been a struggle. Why do we sometimes see gospel advance, yet sometimes apparent retreat? Why do we sometimes find that we make progress in our battle against sin, becoming more like Jesus, and then sometimes we seem to fall back? Why do we sometimes experience someone being healed, and sometimes we don't? Well, think in terms of the kingdom of God, a term that Jesus often uses in the Gospels. Sometimes it feels as though we're seeing God's kingdom advance powerfully, and we're living as part of God's kingdom. We can see that he's in charge. We can see the blessings of his rule. But other times it feels as though we're in a different kingdom, the kingdom of the world, of sin, of death. And often it feels like we're in both at the same time, doesn't it? Well, in this message, I'm trying to do several things, hopefully not too ambitiously. First, we're looking back over the last year, which we've begun to do, giving thanks for God's work. Second, we're looking forward to the year ahead. And then third, I'm hoping to reintroduce us to the book of 1 Corinthians, which we'll be looking at on Sundays and in life groups over the next few months. And to help us to think about all those things, we're going to consider a vital truth from the Bible, a truth which many have argued lies behind lots of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, and a truth that helps us make sense of the different experiences we've been talking about. So we're going to start off by looking at the Corinthian error, a wrong view of the kingdom of God. Then we'll look at the right view of the kingdom. And then we'll think about what this has looked like and what it will look like in the Anderby communities and the Anderby churches. And if you're with us and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian yet, you're not following Jesus yet, well, do listen in. I hope you'll see that what the Bible has to say makes sense of life as we experience it in a way that other ways of viewing the world don't. So first, the Corinthian error, a wrong view of the kingdom of God. If you were with us in 2014, 5 years ago, you'll remember that we looked at the first six chapters of 1 Corinthians. Doesn't time fly? Seems like yesterday to me. And if you were around, you may remember that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth to answer some questions they've asked and to correct them on a number of issues. And their thinking was faulty in a number of areas, but and scholars have tried to work out what was underlying it all. And one of the big ones is the idea that the kingdom of God is already fully experienced. So they're already experiencing the wisdom and the blessings of living in God's perfected kingdom. They are already, if you like, experiencing heaven on earth. So in chapters 1 to 4, the Apostle Paul addresses some people who are challenging his authority because they think that because they have the Spirit, they have everything they need. They have all wisdom, all the knowledge they need. They don't need leadership or instruction from Paul or anyone else anymore. In chapters 5 to 10, he deals with issues around, do we still need to obey particular commands? We have the Spirit. We've made it so we can do what we like. Because what we like will by definition be what's right. So we find in these chapters that men are going to sleep with prostitutes, people are doing what they like in marriage, and they're looking down on each other for how they respond to different situations. And Paul has to respond to those things. In 11 to 14, he addresses those who, because they have the Spirit, think that they can do what they like within the church gathering without any regard for other people. And then in chapter 15, he deals with the idea there's no future bodily resurrection because why would we need it? We've made it already. And you may have spotted in that quick summary that their views about the kingdom of God were very closely linked to their thinking about the Holy Spirit. For them, having the Spirit, evidenced particularly by speaking in tongues, having the Spirit meant you'd arrived, you had all wisdom, you'd entered a new sphere of existence, raising you above earthly existence, regardless of how you lived. So the Corinthian error, as I've written on the sheet, having the Spirit is proof that the kingdom of God is now being fully experienced. We're already experiencing heaven on earth. And before we point the finger too much at the Corinthians, it's worth asking, how can we be like that? Our culture certainly is, isn't it? As human beings made for eternity, we are hardwired to long for heaven. And therefore, because as a culture there's no future hope, we try to build heaven on earth. And in many ways, compared to first century Corinth, we live in heaven on earth. Our doctors can heal many illnesses. We enjoy material prosperity that previous generations could only dream of. But of course, we really struggle when things go wrong. And we would, wouldn't we, if our only hope is in the present. And that way of thinking can easily seep into the church. We struggle when things go wrong. I struggle. God, how could you let that happen? We too often live for the present, trying to build our castles, to protect our savings, to complete our bucket list. We get frustrated when we keep sinning, when the church isn't perfect, when God doesn't seem to answer our prayers. So the Corinthian error, a wrong view of the kingdom. Well, if that's the error, what's a right view? Well, a right view of the kingdom is now and not yet. Now and not yet. We see this in the Gospels, in Paul, throughout the New Testament. So in one sense, the kingdom has already arrived for believers, but in another sense, it won't arrive until Christ comes back. So yes, we already experience some aspects of the kingdom of God. Christians do have the Holy Spirit. And he testifies to us, he reassures us through the word that we are God's children through faith in Christ. We are members of that kingdom. The Spirit gives us gifts to build up the body, the church, and we've been exercising some of those this morning. The kingdom is advancing as people come to realize Jesus is Lord. And as they bring every part of their lives, their work, their family, their thought life, their finances, under his rule, that we experience some degree of victory over temptation and sin. People are sometimes healed through medical procedure or miraculous intervention. The kingdom is now. And yet, there is so much of the final blessings of the kingdom that we don't yet experience. Sometimes our prayers don't seem to be answered. Sometimes the kingdom seems to be in retreat rather than advancing as people reject the gospel or turn their back on their faith, or as a whole society does that. We fall back into old sins for a season and we need to be restrained by God's word and the Spirit. Other people aren't healed. Christians suffer often terribly. And of course, we all die physically in the end. And all of this shows that while God's kingdom has been established, and while God does rule over all things, and is sovereign over all things, yet we don't experience all the blessings of living in his perfect kingdom yet. The kingdom is now and not yet. And throughout the letter, Paul is wanting to help the Corinthians, and therefore us, to grasp this now and not yet reality. There's a few passages where you particularly see it. I've put a couple of references on the handout, but I'm going to look at one in particular. So the one that was read to us, where he makes clear there's a gap between Christ's resurrection and our own bodily resurrection. So verse 23. Each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. So there's a two-stage process, says Paul. Christ rose from the dead at the first Easter. He is the first fruits. But then there's a gap until Christ returns, comes back a second time at some point in the future. And when he comes back at that point, all those who believe and trust in him will be raised bodily to be with him and to experience the perfected kingdom forever. So we're not in the perfected kingdom yet. And notice that Paul also gives a hint of what is stopping the kingdom being fully experienced right now. So verse 25, he must reign until he's put all his enemies under his feet. There are many enemies of God's rule operating in the world, overseen by the devil. There is sin, there's disease, there's apathy, there are false gods, there's hatred, there's the greatest enemy of all, which is death. Notice that doesn't mean God isn't in control, because verse 25 tells us Christ must reign until God has put all his enemies under his feet. He is in charge. Satan cannot do anything outside of God's good purposes. But the enemies are still there, and the kingdom is not yet fully experienced. As I say, he makes a similar point in other places, and there's a couple of passages that you could look up later. So the kingdom is now and not yet, as one person puts it. If you find this quote helpful, brilliant. If you don't, forget about it. According to Paul, Christians live at the intersection of two ages. The proof the new has come is that the Holy Spirit has come. The proof the old is not yet gone is the continuing presence of suffering and death. Now, if you're struggling still to get your head around this dynamic of the now and not yet, just one quick illustration, which I've used before and I think some people found helpful. Think back to the period after the D-Day landings in 1944. At D-Day, the decisive event in the end of World War I in Europe took place. The Allies were back on mainland Europe. The full weight of the American war machine was behind them. Every day they advanced towards Germany. Final peace and victory was assured. And yet, every day there were setbacks. Soldiers were still wounded and killed. The enemy still weren't completely destroyed. And spiritually, we live in a kind of post-D-Day situation. The decisive event has happened. Jesus has died on the cross. He has been raised again. The Spirit has come. The devil has been decisively defeated. It's only a matter of time before he's completely destroyed. But the final victory will only happen when Jesus comes back again. And in the meantime, God's enemies are still at work, and we have the mixed experience that we thought about earlier. So I wonder if that's your view of the kingdom, the now and the not yet. I wonder how your thinking needs to change. Which aspect do you tend to emphasize? Which do you need to be more aware of? Do you expect all the blessings now and get disappointed when they don't come? Or are you basically pessimistic about the present and expect everything to be bad and only good stuff in the future? Let's just take a moment on our own just to think about which of the two aspects do we need to emphasize more in our own way of looking at the world. And you'll see on the handout there are three things in italics to think about, to encourage you to keep thinking those things through later. But finally, what does this look like in the Annaby churches and the Annaby communities? As we look back over the past year and as we look ahead to the future. And it's worth pointing out, Christians do differ in their view of how much we see kingdom blessings in the present. There'll be differences of opinion in the Allenby churches. There'll be differences within the leadership. And that's fine. We don't have to agree on everything. I think the two extremes we need to avoid are, at one extreme, the idea we should expect to experience the kingdom in its fullness now in every way, every illness to be healed, every blessing to be received, and so on. We need to avoid that. At the other extreme, the idea that kingdom blessings are only future, and we don't experience any in the present at all. We need to avoid that as well. Both fly in the face of Scripture, both fly in the face of experience. So as we look back on 2018, some of us might be encouraged, some of us might be discouraged. Partly that's a matter of temperament. Some of us are glass half empty, some of us are glass half full. Both of us are right, because the reality of now and not yet it says that both are right at the same time. So looking back over the past year, some have joined us. We've thought about that. Others have moved on. Some have grown in their faith. Some have moved further away from God. Some have been healed. Some have become ill or housebound. Some have died. Some have been used by God in their workplace, in the Allenby communities. Some have been rejected. In all of this, Jesus has been on his throne. God has been working, and we've experienced the now and not yet of the kingdom. What about the future? Well, I, with many of us, long to see God powerfully at work in the Allenby communities and beyond, to see the Allenby churches as salt and light in the Allenby communities, as Jesus talks about, revealing the light of Christ to a dark world, to see each member of the Allenby churches being salt and light in the places we go, our workplace, our family, our neighborhood, seeing ourselves as Christ's ambassadors, being a blessing to every part of the community we come into contact with. That's our focus this year, as you know, sending disciples to bless the Allenby communities. And over the next few months, we're going to be thinking more about how we're doing that and how we can do that. One key focus of that will be the prayer day in June, when we'll be praying for God's leading in what we can and should be doing as a church and individuals. We long to see lots of people coming into contact with Christians, with the churches, with the Allenby Communities Trust, and over time being blessed in all sorts of ways and coming to faith in Jesus. And we long to see God powerfully at work in Hull, to see with Hull 2030, 20 churches planted by 2030. Wouldn't that be wonderful? God can do that. I hope and pray that he will. As the missionary William Carey put it, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. But, and there is a but, we're not in the fully realized kingdom yet. We can't yet expect to experience all the blessings of God's perfected kingdom. So with growth, there will be disappointment. With conversion, there will be opposition. With blessing, there will be suffering and hardship. We don't know what they will look like, but they will happen. We know that because we live in the now and not yet kingdom. So let's get our expectations right, and let's be confident. We have the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is working. As one person put it, another quote, "The purpose of the Spirit is not to transport us above the present age, as the Corinthians thought, but it's to empower us to live within the present age." God is on his throne. And one day we will indeed experience all the blessings of his perfected kingdom. As Paul writes towards the end of his letter, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Well, again, let's just take a moment on our own to think about those questions at the end. What great thing can we attempt? What response should we expect? Let's take a moment on our own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your word gives us right expectations about living in this age. We thank you that the kingdom is now and that we experience that. We acknowledge that the kingdom is also not yet. We thank you for preparing us for that. We thank you that you are in charge over all of it. And we thank you that we can be confident that one day we will, if we're trusting in Jesus, experience the perfected, blessed kingdom. So we pray you'd help us with Paul to be confident, to not lose heart, to know that our labor is not in vain. Amen.